on the Technicom hotline is the man who covers the Charlotte Hornets dutifully for the Charlotte Observer. It's Rod Boone, who joins us on FNZ. What's going on, Rod? How are you, pal?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. So, Williams in a vacuum. Hornets get their guy. How do you feel like it fits their roster?
Well, we've known for the last couple of years they've been searching for a big man to kind of at least help in, come in and help be a better rim protector, just a force on the interior, because their defense on the inside and just ability to score easy buckets has been kind of something they haven't really had their strength the last couple of years. So to bring in a player essentially kind of checks off a lot of those boxes should help him out going forward. Obviously, he's a young guy, got to kind of going to come in and kind of build himself up and figure out what he can do and you know, kind of help him with his skill set there. But from all the things you hear from the Hornets and other people, like Jay Billis, who watched him play and everything, it's like the Hornets have a good pick in Mark Williams.
Were you surprised it was Williams and not Duren? They did eventually pick Duren, but they flipped him, and I'll get to that in a moment. But were you surprised that Williams was the one they retained?
Not necessarily, because they actually had an individual workout with him a couple weeks back, and sometimes, not all the time, they had a couple other guys in here, including Shade and Sharp, but individual workout usually gives you a chance to kind of go out there and just see something about the player you may normally not otherwise be able to witness during 3-on-3 or 5-on-5 play. So knowing the Hornets, how much they liked him, and I'm sure the fact that obviously he was at Duke, he gave a chance to kind of go and scout him a lot this past season, I'm not really surprised that he's the guy they kind of stuck with.
What is his ceiling, do you think?
Good question, man. Not really sure about that one. I think that's more for the draft experts and people who actually watch him play. But it seems like from everything that you hear, that he's going to be a good kind of prospect. Like, I was looking at some odds earlier on one of these thousand websites who send us these emails about odds and things of that nature. I think he's a 33-1 odd to win the Rookie of the Year, which is, you know, about middle of the pack compared to some other players. So with that being the case, I think he's at least a solid pick. It's just going to depend about, I guess, it's going to depend about more how he develops and if he can take his game to the next level, because he can be a good shooter, apparently. That kind of separates some big guys, obviously, nowadays, being able to kind of step outside, hit that jump shot. So if he can do that consistently, and just improve his other parts of his game, like defense and being able to make sure he can be good in the pick and roll, I think he'll be okay.
Hornets beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, Rod Boone, joining us on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ as we go over last night's NBA draft. The return for number 13, they draft Duren, they get a bunch of picks back, they use one to flip it for McGowan's, but you know, I'm a little unsatisfied with the fact that they didn't get a warm body back to them. Should the Hornets and their fans be satisfied with the return they got for number 13 overall?
Well, I mean, if you compare it to, I guess, what the Knicks got, I guess that's why fans are up in arms. But, I mean, you know, every deal is different, man. You know, people can sit there and be up in arms about certain things. But the Hornets and Mitch Kupchak is methodical. If nothing else, if you haven't paid attention to what he does, he's not going to do anything overly exorbitant. So I'm sure he has a plan to go out there and execute. What that plan is, we'll see. But I think fans kind of forget also that I think they didn't have a first-round pick next year. So by getting this pick from Denver, it at least kind of satisfies that in that regard. The second round picks, you can always use the sweeteners to kind of help out in trade situations. So while it may not be the haul that some people probably would you know, have liked to see in terms of blowing you away, getting your methodical in what they've done. So to me, this kind of shows that maybe you know, when you trade, make a trade like that with a team, that perhaps maybe something down the line, if ever you need them for cap space or something like that, perhaps they can be something that you can call upon and they'll help you out.
I'm not going to ask this question, you know, in a definitive way, because I do feel like this meeting is different for every player. But, you know, there's all this debate about whether or not Miles Bridges is worth the max deal. I guess the way that I'll ask the question is, should the Hornets go above and beyond to match for Miles Bridges come free agency's beginning next week?
They should pay him whatever he's worth. I mean, I think that's kind of something that really people should really kind of, I won't say mind their own business, but it's not your money, okay? It's not my money. So it's the Hornets' money, it's salary cap money, and I get that part of it. But if Miles Bridges' market, the certain market, he gets the contract, then that's what he deserves. So if he goes out there and is able to get his representatives to find a max deal from a team that has a lot of cap space and they bring it back to the Hornets, well, they have to match to be able to keep the man. So to me, the whole thing about how much is he worth, it's kind of stupid, man, because I don't think that you should actually sit there and determine something like that. When you see that the player he became this past season, becoming a leading scorer, since becoming close to potentially being an all-star eventually, like, I think Miles basically should go out there and get his bag. The Hornets should basically give him whatever they can to not obviously try to catch a situation up long term, but go out there and give the man his money.
You are very much on the same page as me, and I'm glad you answered it as such. Now to the head coaching position. What do you make of these reports and your report as well, and these rumors about them possibly trying to reunite with Steve Clifford?
Well, I mean, that's what I reported, and we reported at The Observer, so I was obviously stick behind our reporting because that's what we do. So there's definitely interest there. Again, how serious it is, I know it's serious, but what it ultimately leads to at this point, I can't say, man, because anybody that's followed this coaching search knows there's been a lot of peaks and valleys and a lot of different things that have happened. So I can tell you, though, for a fact that there's definitely serious interest on both sides.
In terms of what that means, you know, what would a Steve Clifford reuniting with the Hornets mean for them? Because I understand what Mitch was trying to say last night and trying to not necessarily devalue the coaching position, but I don't know what that turns Charlotte into from a destination standpoint, because that'd be a less than inspiring fallback from the Kenny Atkinson hire, which I know a lot of people were kind of lukewarm on anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Steve Clifford, though, is he kind of finds a way to kind of get a maximum sometimes out of his roster. I know he didn't do, the last 2 years in Orlando, he didn't have a winning season, but his first year, he had a winning season, and he's the coach who got the Hornets to the last two playoff appearances. So while it may seem like Back to the Future for some, and they may not want to go back to that point, if you look at what he does bring to the table, familiarity, of course, is one thing, and experience is another. At this point, the Hornets are late in the game. You can't bring in somebody here who's a first-time coach, get a new coaching staff together. It's just kind of hard at this point. So if you bring in somebody who you're familiar with, at least it helps you out in that regard. So we'll see what happens there.
What did you make of his comments last night saying that the roster is what wins the games and not the coach?
Well, that was interesting to hear him say that, because it's actually my question that I asked him to kind of get his comment just on the coach situation and just how he feels about not having one at this point of the season. But I mean, at the end of the day, the roster, he's right, the players are what's going to win, but I think sometimes you have to have that coach to be that next level per se. But if you don't have the players who are able to go out there and have a great defensive scheme, or go out there and push the ball up tempo, or go out there and make a 3-point shot we need him, then the coach can be the best coach in the world, but it's gonna be hard to win some basketball games.
I'll ask you this final one on the way out, because I do feel like at the end of the day, we always have to kind of take the totality of the offseason. But my question to you is this: how likely is it that the Hornets come out of this offseason a better team than when they concluded the play-in game?
I think they have to. They have no choice but to. I mean, right? I mean, if they've made this coaching move to get rid of a coach who had 2 years left on his contract, and had them kind of going in a certain direction, although he couldn't get them past the playing tournament game. If you're going to make that decision and you're going to say part of the reason because you want to get to that next level, you need a new voice, well, you have to be able to improve this roster and find a way to be a better team next year. You know, it's playoffs a bust for these guys. They don't make a playoffs at the top 8 seed and at least make a significant showing in that first round series against whoever they're playing, and the season's a failure. You can't do this in the offseason where things are going in a certain direction and then say you went to another level and don't get there. So the roster has to be better coming into the offseason. Now, exactly what that looks like, we don't know. But I'd be stunned if they don't do something to at least tweak it a little bit. If not, he's not going to blow it up, of course, or do anything crazy. But I can see a tweak or two coming down the line just because they have to do something to be able to improve the roster.
Rod's reporting is always rock solid. I'm very, very interested to see how the next couple of days go about, not just from the free agency standpoint, but the coaching standpoint. A lot of intrigue around the Hornets right now. And we'll also hear from those draft picks coming up in that 1 o'clock press conference, as well as an opportunity to hear once again from Mitch Kupchak. Appreciate the time as always, Rod. You're awesome.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Will. Have a good one, man.